Welcome to the No Direction Podcast, PaizoCon 2017 seminar coverage. Remember, we con when you can't.
All right, hi everybody, good morning.
Good morning.
That was awesome. I'm Eric Mona. I am the publisher and chief creative officer at Paizo, and I have a very, very special guest on the panel today. Tim, do you want to introduce yourself? I will lavish praise upon you.
Oh, well. I'm Tim Nightingale. I am the co-founder of PaizoCon. So this is number 10. And I can remember all the way back when we had about this many people in the...
Yeah, this is ironic. This is the size of the first PaizoCon, you guys.
It's about the size of a room, too.
Yeah, actually, this really does remind me of the first PaizoCon with a obstructing view pillar in the middle of the room and everything.
I mean, it's really bringing me
back. Yeah. So before we get too into it, I'd love to just kind of calibrate the room a little bit. Can you raise your hand if this is the first time you've ever been to PaizoCon? Okay. Oh. Now, can you raise your hand if this is the first gaming convention you've ever been to ever? Okay, cool. Now, just for sake of the argument, if you've been to PaizoCon before, can you raise your hand? Steve? Okay. All right, cool. All right, so a little bit of a mix. So some of you will have probably heard some of this before, but what we wanted to do, and we started this a couple of years ago, is just kind of start out the weekend with a hello seminar. I've been to a few cons in my day, and all of them are different. All of them have different things to learn about them. All of them have different secrets, and we thought it'd be cool for people, especially people who hadn't been before, to come by and listen to a panel of experts talk about the con. And then slowly but surely all the experts but me have disappeared off the panel. And then we brought in Tim as our expert. So Tim founded PaizoCon. As he said, there'd be no PaizoCon without Tim Nightingale. In fact, Paizo itself had surprisingly little to do with the first PaizoCon. I mean, we were there. We were invited. We were guests. I don't remember having to pay to get in. Which is nice, so thank you for that. And but largely, it was... well, Tim, why don't you talk about it? Why did you do it? What the hell, man?
So back at that time, which was about 2008, there was a thread on the message boards that came up that said, hey, you know, we're all hanging out. We all know each other by our call names or whatever, our aliases. But, you know, we should get together and meet up somewhere. And at that time, you know, internet was not new, but a lot of social media things weren't necessarily...
There's no Facebook.
There was no Facebook. So there was a...
We were not cool enough to be on Facebook. That might be a better way to
say it. Okay, I don't want to think about how far back that was. But anyways.
It was on MySpace. It's really great.
Yeah, MySpace. There was a new site called Meetup that was basically helping people get together, as organizing how to do events. It was relatively new, and one guy was really into it and decided that he wanted to try to do a meetup with Paizo message board people. And so... I thought this was pretty cool, and I was very heavily invested in NorwestCon, which is also held in this hotel around Easter weekend, and I was actually running the gaming track, and so I watched this whole message board conversation go, and what was happening was that everybody wanted it in their town, so they wouldn't have to travel. So it really became this, well, have it in Kansas City, well, no, have it in Atlanta, well, no, have it in Philadelphia, no, have it in Phoenix. So it just was jumping around, and I was kind of like, well, you know, the logical place to have it would be here, where you could actually probably meet Paizo people if we could get them to come. And luckily, I was actually in Jason Bullman's game in the office. We were running Eberron at the time, I believe. And I remember going out to lunch with Mike McArthur, who is no longer with us, but was a good friend. We went and had lunch, and I ran it past him. If I was able to get a group together that would come and meet in this area, would you guys come, you know, some of the editors, some of the Paizo people, would you come and, like, talk to them, maybe, you know, talk on a panel, maybe a couple of you could run some games? You know, would that be something that you guys would be interested in? He goes, well, I think it's a great idea. I think everyone else would say yes. So after lunch, we went back to the editorial pit, and it was this really hot, tiny room with all the developers all jammed in there. And I basically kind of talked to them all, and I said, is this an idea that everybody likes? And it was a unanimous, yeah, we would totally do that. So I went in and told everybody, if you have it in Seattle, then I can arrange that all the Paizo people will come. You know, that the Paizo will actually show up. I didn't say all of them. And somehow, just by doing that, I became the de facto, well, you're organizing the whole thing because you're there. And I actually took over the meetup thing. The guy signed the meetup group over to me. So I was accepting money. I was doing that. I went and found the hotel, which was a La Quinta.
La Quinta, yeah.
La Quinta. And we were only able to get one small room in the basement because the bigger one was too expensive. We actually charged, I think, $25, $35 per person. It was one day because that's all we could afford. But the $35 paid for pizza, beer, all the stuff. Paizo generously donated a bunch of swags. We had a raffle, sort of. And then what was surprising is that the entire company showed up.
Nine of us, whatever it was.
But I mean, Lisa showed up, Vic showed up. I mean, everybody that was on hand showed up. And Jason Bullman ran two rounds of games. It was his first, what were the mishaps or the... Basically, you run some severely underdeveloped, flawed characters through, and it was fantastic. And James Jacobs ran something, Wolfgang Bauer ran something. I mean, it was really cool, and we kind of randomized. It was like the first lottery was literally names in a hat. You wrote your name down and put it in the hat. We'd be like, okay, this is the game that's being run. You five people are on this table, and we just kind of did that. It was probably much less hassle than the lottery today. Involved much less people in a hat. It was kind of the way it was. It was one day people were like, oh, damn, this should have been longer. And it was like, that's it, folks. So then that was a huge success and we were really super happy with it. So we thought, okay, we're going to have to do a second one. That was from the first
one. Trying to show
this? Yeah, so... Liz Quartz was my partner in crime. We called ourselves the co-dictators of PaizoCon. And she put together a fan appreciation award for Paizo. She made this by hand and handed it out. The only thing that made me feel really bad was that she did all of this work in making this, and the only picture is of me presenting it to James Jacobs. And it was like, she's like nowhere in that picture. And it made me feel really bad that she did all of this great work, and then she's not in the picture. So, we presented this as a plaque to Paizo, and it still sits in the office.
Yep, in a place of honor.
So
thank you, Tim,
you
for
bet.
Finding the con. So, from my perspective and from the perspective of the staff, you know, we're all like, wow, these fans want to throw a con for us. Awesome. Some of us, like my background, I came from... playing games at cons, you know, I would go to Gen Con and all that other stuff and really into RPGA Network and stuff and founded Pathfinder Society about this time, actually, about 2008, but I think after this. I think we founded Pathfinder Society officially in August of 2008, so we didn't even have Pathfinder Society events at the first PaizoCon. And so I was very excited. I think a lot of the staff had never been to a con, you know, at all. And so they're like, what the heck is this going to be like? And what it turned out to be was just like super, super fun. And so it was like literally in a room about this size, but I would say darker and with no windows.
Yeah. It was definitely basement.
Yeah, it was like a place where I would imagine when we weren't there, they were like using it somehow to like fold bedsheet laundry or something. It was like real... suboptimal space, I think it was fair to say. But it was cool. And it one of the things that we really loved about it is that at a lot of conventions, there's a pretty significant divide between special guests and staff and people who come to the show. You know, if you go to Gen Con, for example, it's crazy busy. You're not going to be hanging out with the people who run Gen Con. You know, they're work themselves to the bone. And then because it's a big industry con where all of the different companies are, a lot of the people that you might want to talk to are in meetings or just are really, really busy. And so at PaizoCon, the one that Tim and Liz kicked off, it was like so intimate and so cool. There was really, and we didn't even have these ugly blue shirts at that point. So like there was no real easy way to differentiate between who was a guest and who was just kind of a fan. And because of that, it felt even more like we're all just kind of one big family. And so do you have any other PaizoCon 1 stories?
Oh, Watsy crashed it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wizards of the Coast.
Yeah, Wizards of the Coast. Some of the people from Wizards of the Coast actually dropped in. Rodney Thompson.
Yeah.
And I think Stephen Redding McFarland at the time.
Was yeah.
They came in, and Logan Bonner. Which is interesting that they now work for Paizo.
Yeah, they now work for
Paizo. Two of them work for Paizo.
Yeah. But that was the time where the split had happened, and the fourth edition was coming out and all this. And so it was really funny. I remember at some point somebody pointed out fourth edition, and all the Watsy guys visibly shrank a little bit, like not to look so big. And it was kind of funny because everyone knew that they were there. It was... But they kind of just showed up. It's like, hey, can we buy a ticket?
Well, and I think one of the reasons that they were there, too, is that they were our friends.
Yeah. It is something that
as acrimonious as the whole edition war thing had been online, right. You know, we had just been working at Wizards, you know, a few years earlier, had been doing the magazines with them for years. And so, you know, personally, we were buddies with those guys.
Right.
So,
and I was thrilled to see them because, you know, we're all friends. So.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So then we started, you might remember better than I do exactly how the transition went, and we'll get to actually talking about this PaizoCon at some point, but I figured, you know, a little history is fun.
Josh Rush took me out for lunch.
Marketing guy for Paizo at the time.
So took me out for lunch, and I kind of was like, well, this is probably PaizoCon oriented and stuff, and he said, we want to take it over, and we have a budget, and we have the experience of doing cons of our own. I think Origins was the one that you were throwing down at the time.
Yeah, we'd been at... there's a con called Origins in Ohio that sort of like the second big gaming convention after Gen Con in the country, or at least it really was at the time. And for a variety of reasons, their star was sort of descending. They had a lot of mismanagement and stuff, and so we'd gone to that show a few times, and finally it kind of come to the conclusion that it wasn't worth all the money that we put into it. And so I think the conversation kind of went like, well, couldn't we do something better with that money? And then like, oh, well, Tim threw this awesome little con. Maybe we could just do something, you know, with that. And I think at the time, too, it was like, I can't remember if this was your concern or just us or whatever, but it was like, you know, Tim's in a weird position where he's got to handle a lot of people's money, and there's just a lot of administrative stuff that we could do more easily.
Right.
And so, so we offered to come in and take it over for PaizoCon 2, and that was at the Coast Hotel in Bellevue. Little hotel.
The thing that Paizo also brought was that they were an actual business.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people weren't willing to rent me hotel space. Because I wasn't a business, I didn't have insurance and collateral and a name, you know. So they were kind of skeptical about why would I rent out all of our convention space to you, and you know, that's true. Why would you? So it was kind of, you know, the second PaizoCon as we were planning it was going to be at the same hotel, but all of their space, like all of it, we're just going to take it all.
We're going to dominate that La Quinta.
The Quinta, we were going to dominate the whole thing. But with Paizo coming on, it's we now had an ability to actually grow and actually have a business behind it that could really lock in better rates, better services. And, it was kind of what we wanted to do. We wanted it to get bigger beyond what we could run. We just didn't have a plan on how to do that. So it was great that they came in and took it. The funny thing was that we had that conversation. I said, absolutely, yes, please take it off my hands. It's just way too much management for as it's getting. And but I couldn't tell anybody. So everybody, because Paizo wanted to trot it out as a announcement, but they need to get all their ducks in a row before that happened. So for the longest time, I was still running it, and people were still asking me for decisions, and I kept saying, well, there's things in the works. We'll make a decision soon. And I kept waiting for this announcement to come, and I kept... So, and Wayfinder ties into that, a whole other story, but There was a lot of decisions that had to be deferred and for that big announcement, but once it happened, it was like, oh, that's why you kept blowing me off.
Yeah, so I think we had Monty Cook as a guest that year.
Yes, and that was the funny thing was we kept saying, well, maybe we'll be so big one day that Monty Cook could be like a guest.
And we're like, how about day two?
How about, yeah.
Yeah. So that PaizoCon 2 is really the first one that started to set the pattern of what PaizoCon is now. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the stuff that we introduced at that show, like special guests who weren't just us, the preview banquet, which is something that happens every year on Saturday, the all-important miniatures trading after party that I host after the show. It is happening again, just like Twin Peaks. It is happening again. And it's going to be in the bar at 2 o'clock on Sunday. So and a bunch of other stuff, too. But all the way through, and it's grown from...
Is that Monday or Sunday?
Monday. Thank you, Steve. Steve's been here. He knows I'm still tired. So even though the con has grown a lot, and there's like I think probably about 600 people at the show, and so that's quite an uplift. It'd be hard to put 600 people in this room, I think. But we try to keep the event, you know, still kind of intimate. The access to the staff members and special guests should be pretty high. So, you know, we're here to hang out with you guys, basically. So if you see us in the hallway, feel free to approach and, you know, come on and join us at the bar or whatever, and we'll be happy to chat with you guys about Pathfinder, about any of the nerdly arts, about pretty much anything. So so even though we're now a little bit bigger, we still try to keep this in a sort of a small con sort of environment. So with that said, I think it's I'd like to transition into just talking about some of the stuff that's going to be going on at this PaizoCon. But before I do that, I wonder if anyone is – does anyone have any questions about the history of PaizoCon? No? Okay. So welcome to this PaizoCon, which is PaizoCon 10. We are now in our third year here at the DoubleTree. There's a lot to like about this facility. The most important one is it's got really good access to a bunch of food options, which if any of you were at PaizoCon 4 years ago, there was like a lone 7-Eleven, you know, next to the con where it's like, my fifth hot dog. So that wasn't so good.
Right.
There's probably many of you who have discovered, you know, that there's a fair number of little restaurants that are just across the street. You know, there's Denny's and stuff like that. I'd like to, just while we're on the topic of restaurants, the most important thing about PaizoCon is eating.
Eating.
I'd like to make a couple of recommendations for you guys. That right across the street, and to the right, if you're just facing across the street, there's a place called Sharp's Roaster. And they've got really, really good sandwiches. And they're just kind of like, if you want like a big, like a gut bomb meal that'll last you a nice 3 hours, like a meat baby, go to that place. they've got their roast beef and stuff is fascinatingly good. There's a little Thai place over there for lighter fare that's also quite good.
The Thai place is phenomenal.
Yeah.
For Thai.
The little secret place that is not really a secret to people who live here, but that most of you probably don't know about, is a little joint called 13 Coins that is, again, if you walk out to the street and turn to the right and walk about 3 blocks, it's on the first floor of an office building. And it's 13 Coins is open 24 hours, and it has like a big old menu with like breakfast and dinner, and you can go anywhere from like bacon and eggs to lobster. And it's got a real swanky like 70s airport swinger party kind of aesthetic that I find particularly appealing.
I don't touch that.
You don't like, well, yeah, I'm not talking about touching. I'm just talking about aesthetics. So that's a good spot to go. The hotel restaurant here is decent. It's pretty expensive, frankly.
Yep. There's Dave's Diner.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. What's that?
So that's if you go to the corner and you go across the street. It's across from the La Quinta. It's a little, it's diner. It serves really good breakfast. Oh. It's like an awesome place to go get breakfast. And other meals during the day. It is just a typical diner, so it has a lot of the diner food. But good stuff. Really good. Good price.
If you are jammed up for time and can't run across the street or go down to 13 Coins or whatever, the bar, like the little coffee kiosk thing in the bar, has got pre-made sandwiches and things. And honestly, they look pretty good. I haven't had them yet.
Yeah. There is a Subway across the street as well. And
don't eat at Subway though. Their bread has the same chemicals as they put into yoga mats. Oh, so you really don't want to.
I don't know. I met you there last year.
I didn't know that last year. Oh. You'll never meet me there again. Subway's been busted too many times selling things that aren't food as food. You get two of those strikes and then you're out forever.
Oh, there's a Hawaiian place over there too that's pretty good. Illinois Hawaiian.
So anyway, there's a wealth of food options. If you've not been to a con before, it's really important to like eat your meals and especially to drink and keep yourself hydrated because it's really, really, really easy to get exhausted. You know, there's also, probably more opportunities to wear yourself down and get sick with, you know, pleasant germs from all over the world coming to commingle here at the Doubletree, where germs have come to commingle for years and years.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's see. So I wanted to go over a couple of things. You all got one of these books, yeah? This is your guide to pretty much everything that's going on at the show. There's a map in the front of it that tells you what you need to know. Let me go over that a little bit. So we are right now in the Olympic Rooms, which is on the upper left-hand corner of the map here. All of the seminars at the convention happen in one of these three rooms. So, and many of the special events too, like some of the screenings we are doing, some of the celebrity games I believe happen in here, at least they have in the past.
It's important to note that if you look at your schedule, it's color-coded the same way.
Yeah, that's right.
Those people just so
I got some good ones,
so
Tim.
Talented.
I got
there.
Some good ones.
But yeah.
Okay, so you can see there's a pool right near here. If you're a swimming type of person, if you are not from Seattle, this is like our week of summer. So enjoy it. You know? It's been tough. Okay, so registration, which y'all obviously were at to get your badges, that is where we will be setting up our delves. And what the delves are just like walk-up games. So we'll have delves going throughout the whole week. We've got staff members running little 30-minute, 40-minute, hour-long sessions in there. You can just walk right up. You don't need a ticket or anything. We put the things on a timer. I think they're 20 minutes each, so you can just kind of watch somebody and then jump in their seat when they're done. Those are pre-generated characters provided, and there's a loose script. Basically, what we do is we have Dwarven Forge 3D terrain set up with miniatures, and then you just got to kind of survive. And our goal is to make that not happen. So you're trying to basically live through 20 minutes. You can do that as many times as you want. You know, we just ask that if there are people waiting, you know, let them kind of filter in and trade off. But that's really cool, and that'll be going on the whole weekend. Everybody at Paizo brings a little something different to that thing. You know, a lot of us will just, like, we've got a chart. I think we roll randomly, and it's like, oh, you're fighting giant spiders. Then we've got the minis for giant spiders. But we've all done this so many times that a lot of people start adding their own little flair to it. Like, our sales guy, Cosmo Isley, he, like, brings, like, clown miniatures, and you have to fight clowns. And it's just it's people have brought, like, Wes Schneider, our editor-in-chief, who has just left Paizo, actually, but I think he'll be lurking around. He had, like, a can of Shaquille O'Neal lemonade with a giant face of Shaq. Yeah. You know? Shaq. He put that in there, and so the players had to fight against Shaq, you know? So you never know what might happen, and as the con goes on, it gets loopier and loopier. So that's the delves, and then there's always going to be, at some point, registration moves into the store, so if you have a question, like if you lose your badge or something, and you don't see the registration people, just go to the store, which is conveniently right off to the right of registration. In the store, there's a lot of cool stuff. There's just like a huge array of Paizo products, but also a lot of stuff from some of our partner companies. So folks like Legendary Games or Kobold Press or Frog God, you know, they've all got their kind of wares out there. Sometimes those things are a little more difficult to get in a game store. In Paizo.com or something, you might just see a shot of the cover, but here you get an opportunity to just kind of really page through all their stuff. And some of them have really neat things, and they often are covering like a slightly different niche, you know, than what we do in the main line of Pathfinder. So you can often find some real neat treasures in there. Also in there is the Reaper Paint and Take, which is a really great thing. I try to hit that thing once the con at least. It's a nice quiet getaway. You can just sit down. They'll give you a miniature. They have paints and brushes, and you can just paint. You know, and they've got Brian from Reaper is there, and he'll give you tips and stuff if you're never painted a mini before, if you just want to get a little bit better, it's a good way to just practice. And mostly it's just a good way to just sit down, zen out, focus on something fun, and be quiet for a little bit. I don't know if you guys value that as much as I do, but I'm talking so much during the show that every once in a while it's nice to just be like... Okay, so that's that. Also in there is, and I haven't confirmed this, but because I haven't seen it yet with my own eyes, but our partners from Owl Cat Games are going to be in there, and they are going to have the new Pathfinder Kingmaker computer RPG for display in there. So I'm not quite sure how playable it is, or if it's just like looking at it and talking to them at this stage, but they're going to be set up in there. I have gotten a chance to play this new game. It's super, super cool. It's pretty far along, actually, and it's an adaptation of our Kingmaker adventure path, where you are running around in the River Kingdoms and you're fighting Pathfinder-looking trolls and goblins, and you make your own kingdom and you get to decide all kinds of stuff about it. But it's a one-player game, and it's just like a isolinear, Baldur's Gate style CRPG, which is what people have been asking us for a long time. So we've got good partners to do that. I'm pretty excited. One of the people that they have got as their narrative game design dude is Chris Avalon, who did Fallout 2 and Fallout New Vegas and Icewind Dale and some Baldur's Gate stuff and Neverwinter Nights, and is really one of the better computer game writers as well. So he'll be here at the show. So, so check out that. So that's the store. Upstairs from, across from the store, next to registration on the left, is the Grand Ballroom, and that's where Pathfinder Society events are. So if you want to play that, those are about five, they're slotted for about 5 hours. They take about four and a half hours. You can do either characters provided, where we'll give you pre-generated characters, or you can create your own character. The cool thing about Pathfinder Society is you create your own character, and then that character's persistent, for as long as you want to play them. So you can go to a different con, you can play with different GMs, different companions, but your character keeps getting higher level and keeps getting more and more of the story. We've been doing Pathfinder Society for like 8 years now, 9 years actually, I think, and so there's a lot of there's lots of adventures, like 400 adventures or something. So every month we put out two new ones. We're debuting new ones here at the show. We've got special events on the different nights. And so if you're just looking for a game and you haven't signed up for one yet, there's usually tickets available for the Pathfinder Society. So let's see what else. Upstairs from the Grand Ballroom and the store is the Cascade Rooms and the Evergreen Rooms. The Cascade Rooms, you can see on there, they're on the top of the map there. They're just on the second floor, and it's a long hallway with lots of little breakout rooms. And what we use those rooms for is a lot of the lottery games. So a lot of the private games, a lot of the games that, like the game I run, the games that you know people sign up for in the lottery are all in there. It's nice, quiet, sort of... I keep wanting to use the word intimate, but then I realize that has kind of gross connotations. So it's a friendly.
Yeah, it is. So you're in the room.
Cozy.
And you're not shouting over another
game. Yeah,
it's
quiet. There. Yeah. So that's where those are. So if you're in a lottery game, they're up in the Cascade Rooms. And then the Evergreen Rooms are larger rooms sort of across the way. And they have open gaming in Evergreen 3, and they have some Steve Jacksons here with some Pathfinder Munchkin card games, real quick and fun little game to play there and there. And then Ulysses Spiel is in there as well. Ulysses Spiel are our German translators, but they also have some games of their own that they've brought out in English. So they just announced a new version of this game called Torg that was really popular in the 80s. It's a multi-genre game that they'll be doing. And then they also have a game in German called Die Schwarze Auge,
nice.
Which means the dark eye. And so it's the most popular RPG in Germany. It's more popular than Pathfinder. It's more popular than D&D. And so they've got a new version of it in English, which is available in the store, and you can go check it out. And it's kind of a legendary game. It's been around since the 80s. So you can check that out up in the Evergreen 1. In Cascade 13, 12, and 11, in particular in 12, I think, is where we've got some stuff for Pathfinder Online set up. Pathfinder Online is an MMO that has been in production for quite some time and is about to kind of launch officially, and you can play that up in Evergreen 12. That's a very, like, that was kickstarted, so it's a very, like, they call it crowd forging, which is to say they're really solicitous of people's feedback and input. So stop by there, and it's a work in progress, and they would love to get your feedback, and we'll continue to refine that game probably for a long time. So, all right, so that's the map. Any questions about the map? Any questions about where we are right now, where we're going as a people, as a culture? Okay, I don't have answers for that stuff. I thought I had answers for that stuff, but now I don't. So, okay, so special guests. We've got three special guests this year. We have a lot of actually guests, but the three guests of honor. Amber Scott, who is one of our absolute favorite writers. She's been with Paizo since before Pathfinder. She worked on Dragon and Dungeon magazines when we were producing those for Wizards of the Coast. She's participated in four different adventure paths, most recently in the Iron Fang Invasion adventure path. And she also has done some writing for computer games. She participated in the Baldur's Gate Siege of Dragonspear game that is fairly recent. And so she's got a lot of different experiences from, you know, freelance writing to RPG stuff to computer games. And we're really honored to have her. She's going to be running a celebrity game later this evening that I'm a player in, and I have it on good authority she's going to try and kill us all. So that should be fun. And when I say celebrity game, I always feel weird calling myself a celebrity, but for 4 days it's sort of true. So it'll be me and some other Paizo staff and top contributors in a room like this, and then we'll like put all the seats out around the side of the room, and people watch us play, and there's like suggestions from the audience and stuff. That's really one of the more recent PaizoCon traditions that I really come to appreciate. So every year we do a couple of these games. They're usually really, really funny. They usually have virtually nothing to do with Pathfinder. 2 years ago I played in a game with Greg Vaughn, and he handed us each a different character sheet for a different game. So it's like, you know, like some of us are playing original D&D and some of us are playing Pathfinder, and like one guy was playing GURPS, you know? So it's crazy, and it's mostly just for fun. But that's a 2-hour game. Amber will be running hers tonight.
And that, by the way, is at playing with these guys in the office. A lot of comments that I always used to get is like, "Oh, I wish I could watch something like that." And so this is your opportunity to watch the masters actually play, and you'll find out they're just as chaotic as and crazy and
sometimes
disruptive,
yeah,
as your own players are.
Yeah, that's true. That's sometimes even more,
yeah,
especially during those games.
Oh yes.
Our artist guest of honor this year is Remco Troost. Remco Troost does a lot of work in video games. In fact, he did some character design for Assassin's Creed and Far Cry, which was a game I was super obsessed with until I realized it was the same game every single time they put it up. But the character design's really cool, and Remco has done all of the character concept, not concept, the actual character art for Starfinder. So if you see the banners of like the big lizard woman or the nasty insect dude or the cool starship captain with the laser gun and the purple hair, that's Remco doing that stuff. He also did the cover for the Starfinder RPG, which comes out in August. He's in the store most of the time. He's got a little booth set up. You can come talk to him about art or whatever. And I met him last night for the first time in the bar. He seems like a very friendly gentleman, and he's got some prints for sale as well, some limited edition prints that I think are unique to PaizoCon. And then lastly, on our guest of honor this year, we have our media guest of honor, which is a first for PaizoCon. We've never really had a cause to have a media guest of honor before, but Spencer Crittenden is the game master for a TV show called Harmon Quest. And Harmon Quest, the first episode's available for free on YouTube, but it's also on the CISO network, which is a streaming service. It's like $4.99, $3.99, and you get a bunch of cool shows. It's very comedy focused. It's also got, you know, Monty Python and a bunch of British comedy and stuff on it. So it's worth it, and it's really worth it for Harmon Quest. So what Harmon Quest is Dan Harmon, who is the writer and producer of Community on NBC and is one of the big television writer producers in Hollywood right now. He and a bunch of his friends, almost all of whom are stand-up comedians, get to play Pathfinder, and Spencer runs it, and he's a legit Pathfinder fan, GM, and he'll run them through the game, and then they'll edit it down, and then it's interspersed with animation. So you'll have part of it will be the comedians talking, and then part of it will be like animated elements of what their characters are doing. It's super fun. We're doing a screening for Harmon Quest. It's on here. Episode screening Saturday at 5. So I'll be there to introduce Spencer, and he's going to show off a full episode from season one and some clips from season two. The episode's about 15, 20 minutes, and then he'll do a Q&A. So if you've never seen Harmon Quest, it's super hilarious. They've had special guests like Nathan Fillion was on one of the episodes. Almost all a lot of the community people have been on it. A lot of really great comedians. So please come to that, and we're honored to have Spencer here. Let's see, the store I've talked about, the Delve I've talked about, Reaper Money, I'm just reading the book, you guys, it's great. So this is a cool new thing that we've never done before, is this spread here. I won't necessarily go over each one of these events, but it's the highlighted events, and so we kind of took our look through everything that was happening at the con and chose to highlight a few special elements. One of the ones I did want to point out, because I think it's a very unique opportunity, is this Saturday Concepting Aliens seminar. We've done that before with more fantasy stuff, where we just have done Concepting Monsters. We always have an artist guest of honor. We invite them to that seminar, and then our staff talks a little bit about what it means to make monsters for Pathfinder or Starfinder, and then we kind of jam out a monster idea among the crowd, and while that's happening, the artist is kind of furiously drawing it, and so by the end of the seminar, you get to see the monster that we've all created together. So that's a pretty unique experience. I recommend that one for sure. And then another one I see on here that's worth talking about, in addition to, obviously, if you're interested in Starfinder, this is like a good con for you to be at, because we're really talking a lot about it. So there's the All About Starfinder, there's the Remco Troost art seminar that's not about him drawing, but about his craft and building a new brand and some of his video game work. But one of these other things that I wanted to point out is a Sunday event called Sound, Music, and Ambiance in Role-Playing Games. That's going to have Ben Looms from Sirenscape, who is set up right opposite registration with his soundboard things. They're really immersive and really very cool to use these sound things. And one of the neat things about PaizoCon is you can just go up and talk to them, and they'll take you through the software and show you how it's used. But they also will be recording some sounds there. Right. So we've had people walk up to that thing and like scream like a dragon, which I'm sure all the stewardesses and captains who use this hotel really appreciate. So go to that one if you're looking for a way to add some music and sounds to your game, and that always proves to be a highly entertaining event. Okay, so let's see. Everybody understand how this works? You got seminars up at the top, you got the games in the middle, and then these are the Pathfinder Society things. So if Pathfinder Society can get a little confusing, there's lots of different options. The descriptions of the events are on this last spread here in the book. And if you're confused, just go into the HQ, which is just right to the left of the entryway there, and they'll sort you out. They'll get you what you need to do to get started there. Tim, why don't you take over for a second?
Take over for a second.
Take over. Oh, we can talk about this. The PaizoCon Preview Banquet. PaizoCon Preview Banquet is very interesting, I hope. I can't say definitively because I'm the one speaking at it, so I don't know if it's super great or not. If you want to know before, kind of test it out. Our friends at No Direction, where Ryan Costello's back there, they have recorded it many years, so you can watch last year's and go, oh yeah, no, this isn't for me. But it's going to be pretty fun, y'all. So what we do is we show off a lot of stuff from upcoming books, and we announce a couple of new books, or a couple of new products. We're going to talk with there'll be a couple of special speakers and things like that, and then it's catered by the hotel, and the food's usually pretty decent.
It's like, yeah.
So that's a special ticketed event, so if you don't already have a ticket for that, you'll want to check with HQ or with registration to see if there's more tickets available. The reason it's ticketed is that it's food and it costs money.
Right, right.
But one of the things we do that's cool there is every table has got a different Paizo staff person at it, and so we go and kind of seed the room with blue shirts, and then open the doors and guests, and then people can kind of go, and you can sort of be like, oh, I really like that book that she wrote, I'm going to go try to sit with her, or that's that Tim Nightingale guy, I want to go talk to him about the history of PaizoCon.
Or Wayfinder,
which, you want to talk about Wayfinder for a second, so people might know.
Yeah, sure, so when you register, did everybody get their copy of Wayfinder? I know some of you were like, some people were beelining right past or very distracted by what was in the bag, all the shiny stuff, but Wayfinder is a free magazine that we hand out every year that is created entirely by fans, and so Paizo doesn't have any say in it, they're just as surprised with it as we are.
I'll say.
But yeah, we were able to do that every year with the donations and ad sponsors and stuff like that. We have an open call right now for the next issue. Will be next year. We've gone down to one per year. It's doing it entirely for PaizoCon, and that's Faye in the First World. So we're also having a seminar tomorrow at 10. So if you're really interested about getting your break in the gaming industry, how do you do that, and how Wayfinder can help, we are very much going to talk about that. And we get a lot of good support. Usually the Paizo folks usually say, you want to get in the industry? Write for Wayfinder. So
yeah, it's a good way.
But that was started in conjunction with PaizoCon. A fan came to me and said, I want to do your program guide, but I want to do it with sort of a fan magazine with, some articles written in art and stuff like that. And I had to tell him, well, I think we already have plans, but I know another person who is Liz Torts who's done fanzines, so you guys should talk. And that's how Wayfinder was born. And he brought copies to PaizoCon and handed them out for free because it is under the community use policy, so we don't charge for it. And that just kind of became a tradition. Every year with the PaizoCon, we've been handing out Wayfinders. So
check it out. It's pretty awesome.
So, yeah.
And it's free.
It is. One per household, though, because we can't print that many.
Right.
So,
right.
Trying to make them go as far as we can. But we hope you enjoy it. And it's also, all of the Wayfinders are downloadable for free on the Paizo website.
Yeah. All right, so we've kind of gone through the book. We've talked about the important stuff, like where is a good place to eat. We've given some patronizing advice, like don't forget to drink water.
Right.
And I think now is a good time to open things up for questions to see if anybody's got some questions, anything you're curious about with PaizoCon.
Yeah.
Yes, sir, in the back there. What's the what?
Board game buffet.
Ah, I'll answer this one.
Oh, good, because I have no idea.
The board game buffet is run by Blake Davis, who is the winner of the Volunteer of the Year award last year. A nice small cadre of people here.
Mm-hmm.
He loves board games, and every year he doesn't ever participate in any lottery games or anything. He just brings every board game he has. He was actually setting up at a table in the lobby and just asking people as they walk by, do you want to play a game? And so the great thing is that this year they gave him his own damn room to put all these games, and you can drop in. And I mean, I think he had lottery events and for some of it. It's a room full of board games, and he wants to play with you. So stop by and see what's going on there, because he has got literally every, the guy just dropped so much cash on board games and all sorts of stuff. So, and he's an outstanding guy. He actually is my GM right now. So
he's a really good dude.
He is really into the gaming, really into to everything here. So I highly recommend that.
And there's open, in addition to the Steve Jackson Munchkin stuff and the Ulysses Spiel stuff in the Evergreen Rooms, there's open gaming up there as well, in addition to that.
And a lot of stuff that you'll find if you have just free time or you're bored in the evening is you didn't get a lottery event that you thought, man, there are so many games to drop into. I just got pulled into three, and I was trying to keep an open schedule. So there's always that. Also, the lottery has been kind of tricky. When we started out, you were almost guaranteed a lottery game because there was so much of a... There were so few people and so many lottery events that it was pretty standard to get into a game. As we've gotten bigger, that's become... You know, a lot of people who came to the initial ones are all upset now because they can't get into a lottery event anymore. It's like, that's the cost of growing and being big. That said... If you had a game that you were really interested in and you didn't get into it, go and you have the spot open, go and just hang out around the table because sometimes people flake and they don't show up and then there's this open spot. If you're around and they're like, gosh, where is this guy? We got to start. You know, it's not happening. And you say, hey, I'm available. I'd love to play in this game. You can do that. Also, a lot of times just sitting around and watching them. I went into one of James Jacobs' games one year because we played in his Sandpoint game, and he was promising me that answers would be revealed about stuff he didn't share with us. So I actually sat through that whole game as an observer just because it was fascinating to watch everybody play. So that's something.
Did you learn any secrets?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I never got any secrets. Yeah, what was up with him?
It's a, like, oh, it's just... He had a whole adventure. Here,
let me cover the no direction thing. Okay, so any other questions about the con? About, yes, Steve.
Is there any sort of staff on the games that you can watch? Like, is there any sort of
Of Starfinder?
Celebrity one.
There is not a celebrity one. There are some Starfinder games being played, if you can look in the descriptions. And I guess it's probably just up to the GM. So if you go... just turn up and say, hey, I'd really love to watch, and if they're comfortable with that. Some people, you know, would just prefer to focus on the gamers. You never know what might happen at PaizoCon, Steve. You know, there may be some opportunities that I'm not yet liberty to speak of to see Starfinder before the weekend is up. But that's one, you know, for sure. So I would just go and ask.
So that's cool. No,
I think so. Yeah. I think it's probably best to do it right before the thing starts so that you're not kind of like sneaking in, you know, the door's all, and you're like, hey, I want to watch you play Starfinder. You know, like, I would just talk to them beforehand. Yeah. And I imagine it wouldn't be an issue. Right. But it's up to the GM, you know, in that circumstance. Lots about Starfinder coming at the banquet. Yeah.
For the preview banquet, can we confirm that there's going to be a staff or guest at every table? Because when we bought the tickets, it wasn't.
It's, there are 50-ish staff people here, or special guests, and there are, I think, 53 or 54 tables. So there's a line that will start prior to the event. Some people start getting in line like a couple of hours early. I think that's... I mean, I work with these people, so I'm like, what? But, if you're really keen on sitting with a specific staff member, then I would get there early. If you just want to be there with a staff member, just try not to be like, you know, one of the last people on the line, I would say, you know.
Right.
So, you know, maybe an hour before, start thinking about taking a look at what the line looks like and whatever. But, you know, I'm not here necessarily like saying, you guys, our presence is so incandescent, it's worth standing in line for an hour for. But some people will do that. So,
yeah.
And so it's basically what happens is the staff goes in, you know, beforehand, spreads out, stakes out tables. We're probably going to try and bring these little things so you can see who each person is. Mm-hmm. And then we let people in just basically in the order that they're in line.
Right.
And so it can be a little bit of a rush, but
it's a little chaotic at first. It's actually funny sitting down and watching people come in, and just you see the people doing the rushes for certain tables.
Yeah.
You're like, oh well, this guy's gonna be popular tonight.
I always feel sorry when a bunch of people will rush to my table, and then I'm like, oh hi everybody, and then I go and stand in front of a podium for an hour, and then they're just like, oh, where's my celebrity? Oh, it's me.
But actually, you know, during the presentation, you're not really talking with your person at your table because the presentation, you're just, everyone's watching. There's really not a lot of talking. And the time you get with them is around mealtime.
Yeah.
And it's a good conversation. I saw one on there is like, do I eat or do I talk to the person? And it's like you can actually do both.
Yeah, you can.
It's not like, you know, I'm going to put that on
the time. So. You can't do both. I mean, you could, but we'd prefer not.
But you do get it's a good conversation. You have a lot of other people at your table, and
that's actually the part I like the best. You know, it's fun. I assume it's fun to like sit with a Paizo person, but it's actually really cool to just get a chance to sit down and chat with people, you know, from different parts of the world or different parts of the country. And, you know, I like that stuff. So
a lot of times, you know, there'll be people that come in a large group and all your friends, so you, like your whole gaming table and stuff, and you'll try to rush and claim a table with Eric. But it actually is really good to split up and try to sit down with a lot of people, because you get into a lot of really nice conversations with people from all over the country, all over the world, and that's a really good takeaway.
And that's a real opportunity, too, because it's Saturday night. There's still a day and a half of the convention left after that. So, you know, if I was in the position where maybe I came to the con with, like, a buddy or on my own or something, and I just didn't know that many people, it can be a little intimidating to walk up in the hallway and just, like, tug on somebody's sleeve and be like, hey, let's be pals, you know. But if you're hanging out for a couple of hours at dinner, then the next day it's like, oh, hey, I remember you from last night. It's just, it makes things a lot easier. I think we have time for one more question, if there is one more question. No? Oh, one more question in the back. Yes, sir. Ryan. Yes, sir.
What are you most excited about?
What am I most excited about? That's a good question. I think I'm honestly probably most excited about those celebrity games, you know. So one of them's run by Amber, and I'm in that one. And then the other one's run by Spencer Crittenden from Harmon Quest. He told me a little bit about what his game's going to be about last night, and I was like, oh my god, I wish I was in both games, because that sounds amazing. Those have just really turned into a fun event over the last couple of years. So that's kind of what I'm most excited about. But, you know, how about you, Tim?
I'm excited and nervous a little bit. I'm actually running my first game at a con. I'm actually running adventure that I wrote for Wayfinder 15.
There's a 10 on the front of this. And you're running your first game ever?
Yeah. I'm a player. I'm a professional player.
Nice. Excellent. All right. Oh, yeah. One more up in front.
Do you have a room for where people can go consult a rules lawyer?
Ooh. Are you just going to sequester Jason in the room?
Well, it's just kind of an interesting idea. You know, it's like, the answer is no, we don't. But there are plenty of rules lawyers in blue shirts here, so you can talk to them.
Yeah. Ask the Paizo GMs.
Yeah, there is an Ask the Paizo GMs thing. So, I think that's a little bit more just kind of like technique oriented, but sometimes there's rules.
That's what I assumed, right?
There's also a seminar on Pathfinder rules, I'm pretty sure. There usually is.
Well, there's actually two. Q&A. Somewhere. You have one on Monday as well, as the GMs. You actually have one today and one, so you have, and those are a lot of like, well, I have a problem player, what do I do sort of thing, but it can get into specific things as well. I wouldn't, if they're fast and furious.
I feel
the best thing is to hit a blue shirt and
lawyer on our entire staff, who isn't Jason Bullman. You'll know Jason Bullman because he's taller than Jeff. Is Mark Seifter. He's the guy about my height with like kind of like a
curly hair,
like a Jerry Curl sort of almost looking hair. Find him. I mean that in the nicest possible way. But he will love to talk to you about rules.
If you like your rules things mixed with abuse, Stephen Radney
McFarland is your one. Abuse.
He insulted me like 3 times in less than a minute, you know, and I didn't even catch it.
It looks like we don't have a specific rules Q&A question this year, and I think that's mostly because we're just putting so much focus on Starfinder this year. But yeah, talk to one of those guys. And then next year, I think that's a good idea. And it would be even better if it was like the space of like a telephone booth, you know, and you just have like
Peanuts with Lucy, the psychiatrist is in, but we'll have like, you know, this junky sign that's
right. I spent a lot of time in this seminar talking about intimacy, right? And so like how that's the most intimate of all is, you know,
come up, pay a nickel.
pay. Yeah. No, yeah. It should be free.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. It's going to be great. And they'll just be a, it'll just be a line.
A little kiosk.
I like that kiosk. Idea. Yeah. So thank you. I can I take one more, Jeff?
Sure.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. One more.
For that booth, you should have it actually somebody asking Kaylee and answering the questions.
Oh, everyone turns into Kid and Kaylee after 9 o'clock at Pizer. And with that, I think we're going to wrap it up. Thank you so much. Welcome to the show. If you have any questions about anything at the show, don't hesitate to grab somebody in a blue shirt, and we'd be happy to answer it for you. We're thrilled to have you here.
Thank you for joining us for another edition of the No Direction Podcast PaizoCon 2017 seminar coverage, made possible with the help of Justin Sluder and Ryan Hiller of Geek Dad. To find more great Pathfinder audio, go to NoDirectionPodcast.com.